wishing the well. Don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul for
woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth. Woo! Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
It's time to salute your sports on KCOU 88.1 FM and KCOU.FM.
You like apples? How about them apples? Dave Stanley here, back with you for one more semester at the very least of Salute Your Sports. 8 years now on the radio at KCOU. And 16 semesters. This is semester number 16. How about that?
They cannot get rid of this show. No matter how hard the people try.
They've tried
Salute
so hard.
Salute Your Sports will remain on KCOU airwaves. Through thick and thin, we are here.
And with that, go ahead and introduce the new co-hosts, Matthew Terry, you just heard, and Chris Mitchell.
Hello.
And it's fantastic to have you guys on here. There's been a lot of people on the show, from Andy Humphrey to... not Joe Morgan. Joe Leyland. I mean, he's kind of the Joe Morgan of KCOU. Who else? Eric Kelly. That's another one. And then,
of course, your co-host last semester.
Ross Weber.
Ross Weber. Joey Schneider.
Yeah, there's been a lot of names to come through here. So welcome to the show, guys. And
it's an honor to be on here. When I heard that this show needed two co-hosts, I really wanted to be a part of this to help continue this legacy that Salute Your Sports has already brought upon KCOU, and hopefully add some good legacy of it of my own.
Well, you talk about the show that won't go away. Wasn't that
it used
Overtime
to be Overtime Live?
Live,
which I also hosted.
I was gonna
which
say,
subsequently died right after I hosted it.
Oh.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of the other shows that have almost lasted as long as this one. Big Three, I think.
Big Three lasted a long time.
Big Three might have been 2009. This show started in September 2010.
Big Three lasted until, I believe, the spring 2016 semester was the last one.
Is that when, I think, Nate when
it
Nate
was
Gatter
Nate Gatter,
left.
Taylor Wilson, and Anthony Romano were on that show.
We talk about the Big Three. Those are three big guys.
Yes, and funny enough, I was on that show as a guest in its last semester, so apparently I'm poison. So don't expect this show to last longer than a semester.
Get out of here.
This bodes
now,
well.
Leave.
That's fair. I understand.
I'm kidding. Chris, welcome to Salute Your Sports.
Hi. I'm super happy to be here. I heard, like Matt, when I heard there was an opening on Salute Your Sports, I was like, maybe I should bite this offer and see what happens. I did some research, and I was like, oh, this is actually the longest running show on KCOU, and there's a lot of history and some big shoes to fill. I'm here to hopefully kind of leave my own footprint, as it were.
Well, I think we got the two deepest voices in all of KCOU on here.
Yeah.
Nothing against Ross Weber or Joey Schneider or Joe Leyland, but man, you guys could start your own a cappella group and What have I created? With that,
fantastic start this year.
We're gonna take a short break, and when we come back, we will run through the rest of the show, and we'll hand it off to Matthew Terry. But thanks for joining us here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM. This is Salute Your Sports, and we will be right back.
This is your boy Rubix, and I got a message for all y'all out there. You find yourself with nothing to do from noon to 2 on Monday, tune into my show, The Lounge at Lunch with Danny Bing. We got the freshest music and the hottest takes only on KCOU 88.1 FM or KCOU.FM.
Last time I seen him was at the store with the spice side looking salty. I stepped out with some cold.
The Army National Guard is offering up to a $20,000 enlistment bonus and other tuition benefits to qualified candidates, including new recruits and those with prior military service. Already received your education or currently in school, you may be eligible for up to $50,000 in student loan repayment. Get the education you need to land the career you've always wanted. Learn more about these benefits. Visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the Missouri National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
At KCOU, we constantly need custom apparel. Whether it be t-shirts for special events or performance polos for our sports broadcasters, the only place we trust for our apparel needs is One-to-One Print Shop. One-to-One will help your business or organization craft custom apparel at an affordable price. To learn more, go to onetoprintshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com. Looking for a fun night out in Columbia? Check out a concert at Cafe Berlin. Looking for that great brunch the morning after a fun night out? Cafe Berlin has you covered there too. Check out their stacked concert schedule and brunch menu at cafeberlincomo.com or check them out at 220 North 10th Street and follow them on Twitter and Facebook at Cafe Berlin and on Instagram at Cafe Berlin Como.
Salute Your Sports, back here on KCOU. I'm Matthew Terry, alongside me, James Stanley, Chris Mitchell. Salute Your Sports, big return to the KCOU airwaves for the fall 2018 semester. First things first, going to have a little introduction about these hosts, especially Chris and I, since we're new to this show. Of course, longtime listeners of the show will know James for hosting it last semester. I'm going to give some pretty much Mizzou history on us, talk about ourselves a little bit, and then we'll get into a recap of what happened with Mizzou over the summer. And it was a big summer. Things like Jontay Porter returning to the Missouri basketball program, withdrawing from the NBA draft. Mizzou softball's got a new coach. Mizzou baseball finished up their season. Want to talk about them a little bit. Then we're going to go into the game show that James has talked to me so much about.
Who do you play for?
Oh, God, no. Or nah. We're going to be playing Or Nah. And then we're going to end the show with a little new thing that I've been working on that I can't wait to introduce. And I'll leave that hanging. Leave that hanging for the end of the show. See if the people are interested in this. But first things first, introductions. I'm going to talk about myself for a little bit because it's really what I love doing the most. What's what everyone loves doing so much. Chris,
everyone loves to talk about themselves.
I was told there would be sound bites, and I wasn't told what they would be. And I have no control over this.
I probably should have told you about that one.
So anything that happens is James is doing. And I'm terrified because I see him looking at the board right now. But anyways, I'm going to mention that I'm a senior here at the University of Missouri. I've been a part of KCOU. This is going to be my fourth year. Hosted what was at the time dubbed as the worst show on KCOU Airwaves, three count. Yes, James? I'm sorry, I heard something.
Are you sure about that?
No, John Cena, we're not sure that was the worst show ever.
It was definitely up there, involved with three count last year. A show where just three idiots talked about professional wrestling, and we loved it. Now, Chris, I want you to talk a little bit about yourself and what you've done with KCOU.
Okay, so I'm a junior here at the University of Missouri. This is my second year, actually, of doing KCOU stuff. I didn't do anything my freshman year because I didn't really know that much about doing radio. Come sophomore year, I was like, all right, I need to do something interesting. Found KCOU. So since then, I've been trying to, you know, get my sea legs for radio, as it were, doing some, like, analysis for basketball and football games, doing some commentary for baseball, and this is my first time on a show that's not really a guest host, so I'm excited to see where we're going here.
Well, and then if I've not annoyed you yet, you know, I annoyed you last year, all the listeners on the coast, well, not on the coast.
We're the very far away from the coast right now. We're the opposite of the coast.
I guess where this is getting me is that they now have banned straws in Memorial Union.
Okay.
Starbucks is still doing straws, but it's that it's not Lakota. They serve Lakota coffee. I can't think what the company is. It's whatever the bistro is. They no longer have straws, and it's said that they're here to save the sea turtles. Well, I don't know how a straw from Missouri is going to make its way to the ocean unless it unless maybe it goes down the Mississippi River and flows into the Gulf of Mexico. But I guess maybe that's where I'm going with that. But I've been here now for this is my second year, third year.
You would know better than I.
I think it's about my third year. I came on as a guest toward the end of Andy Humphrey's last semester hosting the show. Then after that, it was Joe Leyland, Ross Weber, and I all last year. So I guess this is my fourth semester on here. But, yeah, we're just trying to keep it rolling, keep a good tradition going of this sports talk show. We're hoping that it will live on
far beyond our days.
Yeah, but what our days are here in Mizzou.
Yeah. So this is, for those that don't know, an entirely Mizzou-centric show. Most shows on KCU are more of like the national scale or more centered on a topic. But we are here to bring you everything involved with the University of Missouri's athletic department and their sports. And to preface this, I wanted everyone here to give their best and their worst Mizzou-related memory. I'm going to start with myself, since I haven't been a Mizzou fan for that long. I started following Mizzou when I got here at school in 2015. So I'd say my best memory for the school would be last year's basketball team, the home win over Kentucky, really just dominating the Wildcats, a team that's been a perennial powerhouse. They were down a little bit last year, but after watching Mizzou struggle through my first 2 years of college and then to watch them rebound like they have, basketball pun, and really just beat down on Kentucky while Mizzou Arena was packed and rocking. One of my favorite memories here at Mizzou. Chris, what's your best Mizzou memory?
This is a weird one. I'm going to say my favorite memory is the Mizzou-Arkansas football game last year. It was my first, it was like around Thanksgiving, right?
That was the day after Thanksgiving. That was Garrett and I went down there.
Day after Thanksgiving, you know, full of turkey. I'm like super tired, but doing some analysis for KCOU, watching the game on the TV, like all the way up to like the very last moment where I was 100% certain McCann was going to shank the kick or something. Once he made it, I hopped out of my seat, popping off, like clapping and everything. It was very, very fun for me.
Are you still doing worst memories or is that on round two?
I was going to think round two, but if you want to lead off with your worst memory, go for it.
Well, I'll lead off with the worst memory because it goes off of another kicker.
Oh, okay.
And that's Andrew Baggett.
Classic.
Baggett shanked a kick off the left upright against South Carolina 2013. That may be the worst memory.
Double overtime.
Yeah, I was
Mizzou won 11-1 that year.
I was sitting in the now destroyed south end zone. That season.
That was the end zone where it was kicked towards, wasn't it?
No, it was kicked toward the north end zone.
Kicked towards the north.
Which that north end zone has had so many like gaps.
You told me about this, the curse of the north end zone.
The north end zone is cursed. And I'll run through that later on in the show. But actually, Rock M Nation has done a couple of op-ed pieces on the north end zone, kind of disputing that point. But Mizzou has gotten terribly screwed in that north end zone so many times.
Not good.
And there's just been a lot of accidents like that. But I guess the best memory, I got two.
All right.
And they both involve beating KU. One, the first one had to be the 2007 Border War.
Yeah.
That football game that was played at Arrowhead Stadium. I went there with my dad and my brother. My grandpa was supposed to go, but it was so cold he couldn't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy behind us looked just like Robin Williams. I mean, he was a carbon copy of Robin Williams. He was a Mizzou fan.
All right.
Yeah. And then there was this KU lady sitting like two rows behind us. She got she ended up getting way too inebriated.
Good.
Ended up falling on top of the Robin Williams guy. Anyways, it was a fun time. Then the other one would have to be when Mizzou beat KU here in Columbia at Mizzou Arena basketball.
Oh, was that in the last game or just
that,
in general?
That was in the last home game that Mizzou ever played against KU. Actually, I guess if you want to do another worst memory, that would have to be Mizzou losing to KU in Lawrence the very last time they played in basketball in the regular season. I cried.
That's fair.
Like, I was so upset. My dad and I, we were going to drive from our home, which is his home, and it's 30 minutes east of Lawrence. We were going to drive up and down Massachusetts Avenue with a William Quantrell flag and a Missouri flag out each window and just yelling and honking the horn, blasting the Mizzou fight song, and they lost. They were up by 20 points
Ooh.
At halftime, and they lost.
Well, we're going into the worst Mizzou-related memory, and there are a decent amount of them with this program and its history. But I'm going to swing back to that north end zone that James was talking about just a little bit ago. Back to 2016, a young Missouri Tigers team led by sophomore Drew Locke gets up to a, I believe they were up 21-10, something similar. On a George or 24-7, that's what it was, on the Georgia Bulldogs, the 15th ranked Georgia Bulldogs, and with about a minute left, Georgia's got fourth and goal from around the 10 or 15 yard line. Mizzou blitzes, goes cover zero, and Jacob Eason just throws it over the top of the defense to Isaiah McKenzie right into that north end zone for a touchdown, and then Jamon Moore promptly fumbles on the next drive. Georgia recovers, and Georgia comes back from down 17 points to beat Mizzou at Faurot Field. So that is, I remember sitting in that stadium stunned, unable to move for the next at least 5 or 10 minutes after that game was over. By far most heartbreaking Mizzou memory. Chris?
Let's see. I think mine was either going to be that or it was some Missouri-Kansas game from a long, long time ago. I remember because the weather was horrible. It was like snowing. I think it was at Arrowhead. It was like no one like played that well. It was a sloppy game.
Was it was Mizzou wearing gold jerseys?
I can't remember.
Because if so, I know what game you're talking about. It snowed terribly. I was at that game as well.
Oh.
Mizzou has a losing record wearing gold jerseys, by the way, which goes all the way back to like the 1970s.
They wore gold jerseys in that game that I was just talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy the way that this university has this weird quirks and stuff. I don't know if you're going to believe this.
Well, every university has things like that.
It's superstitious.
Yeah.
But if you, going back to that game you're talking about, yeah, at Arrowhead, they lost to KU. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Because that was the only time they've ever lost to KU at Arrowhead.
Yeah, the weather sucked. Everyone was just in the foul mood when it was over. It was a whack day in general.
I'm so glad that I brought everyone's moods up with talking about this. Last thing I want to go off of, quick question before we go to another break, and then we get into our summer recap. Just a quick question. Who's your favorite Mizzou athlete of all time?
Is this even a question? I'd bet you a dollar to a donut you could guess mine.
Is yours the man, the myth, the legend, Chase Daniel?
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Let's see. I think I'm going to have to go with...
Here, you earned this, Terry.
Yay!
I
got a prize?
Yeah. Man, this is hard for me. But at the end of the day, though, I think I'm going to have to go with the player that was the closest to ever winning the Heisman Trophy, Mr. Josh Augusta. Because he's a big boy doing big boy stuff and then doing not big boy stuff, and I always appreciate that in a football player. So salute to Josh Augusta and all his big boy aspirations.
For me, there are a few things more fun than an electrifying offensive player in a football team, someone that can just fly down the field in an instant, that can change a game in a heartbeat, and someone that I felt that way for Mizzou, especially when I started getting into the team, was the former kick returner Marcus Murphy. Marcus Murphy, especially during that 2014 season when Mizzou won their second SEC East division title, really electrified that team. And even more so when he was drafted by my beloved New Orleans Saints that next year and proceeded to do nothing in the NFL. Mm. But still, Marcus Murphy, probably one of my favorite Mizzou athletes of all time. So that'll be it for this this first little segment on this show. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, summer sports and summer recap of the Missouri Tigers, Jonte Porter, softball, baseball, all that and more. Coming up on Salute Your Sports here on KCOU 88.1.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Missouri Army National Guard, aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association at this station.
Want to try something new this fall? Get on your feet and try a class at the School of Missouri Contemporary Ballet. Located at 110 Orr Street, Missouri Contemporary Ballet offers classes to those of all ages and experience levels. Class genres range from classical ballet to jazz. New students can try unlimited classes for 2 weeks for only $30. For more, go to MissouriContemporaryBallet.org or find them on Facebook or Twitter at Missouri Contemporary Ballet.
By now, you've heard about how much we love to partner with our friends at One-to-One Print Shop for all of our custom apparel needs. We aren't the only ones who have been blown away by them. Every customer who wrote them a review on Google or Facebook gave their One-to-One Print Shop experience 5 stars, and we are confident you will too after working with them. For creative custom apparel at an affordable price and great customer service, check out One-to-One Print Shop at 1610 Paris Road or visit their website at onetoonprintshop.com. That's O-N-E-T-O-O-N-E printshop.com.
Hello, welcome, welcome, welcome back. Salute Sports here on KCOU 88.1. Bit of variety with the music today. James, going from Eminem to Rolling Stones.
Well, that's just because the lyrics in the song.
That's fair. Good song.
Yeah.
Good song. Really appreciate it.
I can get with it.
Thank you. Thank good. You, Carter Woodiel, for keeping all this good music on. Make a sick.
God, we're just name dropping all over the place today.
Speaking of which, he's had quite a good summer up in.
He has.
In Cape Cod, in Sioux Falls,
South Dakota. Give a shout out to friend Carter Woodiel.
Friend of the show.
Yes, of course. Everyone from KCU is a friend of the show. Everyone in Columbia is a friend of the show. If you're listening, you're a friend of the show.
Your first time in a long time, friend of the show, all that jazz.
Anyways, big friend of the show, Jontay Porter.
huge fan.
Huge Salute Your Sports guy, Jontay Porter is. He is coming back to the Missouri Tigers basket. Yes, James, I am.
No, it's not James. It's John Cena.
Fine. Yes, John Cena, I am. Anyways, Jontay Porter coming back to the Missouri Tigers for the 2018-2019 college basketball season. And this is big for Mizzou. Jontay Porter is someone that really came into his own during SEC play last year. Probably the Tigers' best or second best player behind Cassius Robertson during the SEC. And the fact that he is coming back to Mizzou for this season is big for Mizzou basketball. How do you guys see Jontay Porter performing next season?
Well, like you mentioned with how he sort of came into his own during conference play, and he became easily one of the most important players on the team, if not the most important player. So you take that, and then you go, oh, hey, he's going to be back next year for the whole year, and he's probably going to be better. That's pretty aces if you're the Mizzou basketball team.
Well, the thing that makes me wonder is, I guess, looking to the future with his draft stock, because we're going to see how Michael Porter does this upcoming year. By the way, he had another back surgery, which he had conveniently right after he got drafted. That also happened over the summer as well.
That was known going into the.
Oh, that was known. I'm pretty sure that was known going into the fall draft. Follow it that closely.
Do you think the Denver Nuggets made a good pick
with him?
I think so. Going at 14 is that spot where a team like Denver, who's currently in NBA limbo of that, not good enough to make a run in the playoffs, but not bad enough to really win the lottery and get that franchise-changing player, someone like MPJ offers enough risk and enough reward for a team at the spot in 14 in the draft, which is where they got him, to really cash him, because if MPJ plays like up to his potential, which we haven't seen through college yet, but we saw it a lot in high school, we saw glimpses of it in those few games he did play for the Missouri Tigers, then MPJ can be the thing that vaults Denver up into that upper echelon of a very tough Western Conference. And if not, then they only wasted a 14th overall pick on him, and it's not the worst thing in the world.
But if you look at his back injury, and this is the part that bothers me.
Yes.
The same two famous athletes that have had that back injury, the same one he had, and not to mention the same surgeon, Tiger Woods and Tony Romo. Oh. And after they had both those injuries, they were never the same.
And you could have said that about Tiger until this past month.
Yeah.
But how many years did it take him to get? Well, I mean, back issues aside, I think also he has a mental. I mean,
he had a mental.
Considering what he went through, like, he probably had some mental stuff he had to work through as well. Because golf is especially mental. Maybe even more mental than baseball.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is saying a lot.
I still think that Denver made the right move picking MPJ at a position there, because if he doesn't turn out, then they're in the same spot next year. And they can draft someone else. Or maybe they're worse, they get a higher pick in the draft.
Now, further on that question, if Michael Porter Jr. does not do so well in the NBA, do you think that will hurt Jonte's draft stock next year? Because presuming that he will leave after this next season.
I do not think I don't think it will, because MPJ had this injury history through college, and Jonte hasn't had that. Jonte's so far, yes, James, thank you for knocking on the desk. But as of right now, Jonte's been fine. Jonte has been healthy. I am not going to say much else other than that Jonte was not hurt last year. And that should not impact his draft stock, other than the fact that they went to the same school and they had the same last name. And smart executives in the NBA will know that Jonte's success will not be tied to Michael's injuries, good or bad.
Well, we at least have what? One more? No, I guess this will be it. Because is Sierra Porter a senior?
To Google. Da-da-da.
I think she is going into her senior year.
Let's awkwardly wait here while I Google Sierra Porter is going into her senior year.
Because Ethan Illers had a class with her and Sophie Cunningham on during freshman year.
Fun.
Yeah, and that's more name drops.
More name drops, James. She was a freshman during 2015-16, so yeah, I'm going to use my superior mathematics skills to say yes, she is a senior.
Yeah,
unless she redshirted and I'm stupid.
That's also you're in my class year, so.
Yes. Anyways, Jonte going into next year, what do you think he's going to do? What role do you think he'll play for this Missouri Tigers team?
I think he's going to be someone that the team is built around completely, and you got to base your offense off of him, because he is such a huge key down in the post, and we've even seen him shoot a couple of three-pointers.
Yeah.
It's going to be big getting him contained, and you can really throw off defenses with that, especially in the SEC with not a basketball conference, but then what? Last year they had nearly as many teams as the Big 12 had.
Oh, yeah, the SEC is definitely on the come up for basketball, because you have teams like Mizzou, you have teams like Alabama, who are really like Auburn as well, who surprised a lot last year and should be just as good this year.
Well, and part of this, I think, is with the football bringing in so much mm-hmm. money, they're able to upgrade their facilities for basketball, maybe slip a few dollars under the table as well.
Oh, of course.
That's a given.
I now have my new favorite matchup to look at, by the way, for the next year.
Yes.
And that's the FBI versus Kansas. So.
It's another dig at Kansas. Love it here.
We'll have to see what the FBI digs up. But they kind of got their hands busy right now in Washington D.C. If you know what I mean.
Hey, definitely. Folks.
Yeah.
Clean it.
How about you, Chris? Your
thoughts on Jonte? What do you think he's going to do?
Yeah, like you said, he's definitely going to be someone that they're going to want to build the team around. Just a monster in the post. His shot isn't broken. He's actually a pretty good passer too, which is another plus. So yeah, I can definitely see. If all goes according to plan and he ups his game, he could be a huge threat in the SEC.
Yeah, I think, Jonte, you mentioned his passing. It's one of his best assets. I remember watching most of Mizzou's basketball games last year, and it seemed like once or twice a game, Jonte would make a pass that you think, there are not many people in the world that would see that and make that pass. Almost all of them are in the NBA. Jonte's almost definitely going to be at that point at some point. And remember, he's going to be coming into his own a little bit more. Going to be another year older, hopefully bigger, stronger. He was playing a year above his own age last year.
Because he reclassified.
Everyone and their mother that watched a Mizzou basketball game knew that Jonte was supposed to be in his senior year of high school, because it's all broadcasters talked about, because it's astounding that he's that young and playing at that high of a level in the SEC.
Well, and you look at Michael Porter Jr. in the few minutes he did have.
Yeah.
Jonte is almost the antithesis of Michael Porter Jr. Because Michael Porter Jr. would almost, it's almost like he'd say, well, when he came into the games that he, the final game he played in the end of the year in the tournament, he wanted to put the team on his back. Yeah. He hasn't been there the whole year.
Definitely wanted to, and he, if he plays up to his ability level, has the potential to. He had the potential, and hopefully still does, because I want to see Michael succeed in the NBA. I want to see everyone succeed in the NBA that comes through here in Mizzou. But he could score as well as almost anyone on the planet. And we saw glimpses of that with the way he was able to drive the lane and manipulate his body to get easy layups. And Jonte, like you said, the antithesis of that was more of setting up everyone else on the team. Good passing, good rebounding, good work in the posts, drawing attention, getting other people open. The two would have really worked well together had they been able to play, and it's a shame we didn't get to see much of that.
Well, we could see it in the NBA. That'd be awfully neat.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
We'll have to see if Denver completely falls through, if they would even consider drafting Jonte, but...
Yep. All right. That is we're going to get a little bit more Mizzou basketball later into the season once it gets a little bit more closer to that time. I want to talk about the diamond sports, softball, baseball. First, we're going to talk about softball. Mizzou making a new coaching hire, hiring Larissa Anderson from Hofstra to be the new manager of Missouri softball. It's had a couple down years. They, of course, made the tournament last year after finishing last in the SEC. Still made the NCAA tournament, getting knocked out by fourth-ranked nationally Oklahoma, I believe. But this is going to be a 2019 season when it comes around. How do you guys think the Tigers will be able to rebound from that disappointing year last year? You two pointed at each other for you both to talk.
All right, I'll go ahead and take it.
Excellence.
Well, maybe they can take a play out of the Cardinals playbook, and once they get a new manager in there, then they'll go on some sort of run like the Cardinals have done out of the last 3 or 4 weeks after getting rid of Mike Matheny. But I think bringing in a new coach, and I think more importantly,
the stability to the program.
Well, yeah, it'll bring stability to the program. And And I also like the hire of also bringing in a female as opposed to a male presence with that, because I feel like with the previous coaching staff, maybe there was a little bit of a disconnect of the way that like some of the players were treated. I'm not trying to make this some sort of political argument, but I think that there was a definite lack of empathy from the last head coach.
Of course. Now, a little bit about Larissa Anderson at Hofstra. 4 seasons. At Hofstra, fashioned a 130-73-1 record, 2 NCAA tournament appearances, 2 CAA titles, 4 winning seasons. Definitely did well at Hofstra. It'll be interesting to see how she's able to translate that here at Mizzou. And like you said, James, like I sort of butted in a little bit, I think the big thing would be some stability with the program. That's really what they need, because Aaron Earlywine was fired in early February, like right before the season started. Like this Mizzou softball team was sort of handicapped from the jump. And so hopefully it's a first year under a new head coach. Get some of the players playing for her, like rally the troops, and hopefully this Mizzou softball team can make some noise in what's traditionally a very tough softball conference.
Well, that's what I mean with that, and with like adding that stability, is that Earlywine maybe kind of lost his cool a few times and even had some players transfer away. So that's what I'm getting at in terms of just changing out the coaching perspective.
All right, and their partners on the diamond, Missouri baseball, had a bit of a disappointing finish. They showed some promise at times. During the course of the season, that ended with a season finale win over Tennessee, which put them in the SEC tournament, only for them to be unceremoniously bounced immediately to South Carolina in a game that ended at around 1 a.m. at the time. So the big question around this Mizzou baseball team, they've showed promise each of the last 2 seasons, but when will Steve Beazer and company make the jump into being at least one of the middle-tier programs in the SEC, if not up in that top tier?
Well, I feel like the Mizzou baseball team kind of got an unfortunate guard hand, if you guess my meaning, with some injuries. I know, I believe it was Bryce Montezioka who had to deal with some injuries, and that kept him off of the starting roster for a while, and he had some issues trying to get back in that starting area. And so if you can knock on wood and hope you don't get the injury bug, I think that would also go a long way to, like, I don't know, making sure your squad is going to hopefully take the next step and improve in their game.
Well, I think maybe one upgrade to the stadium at least they could do is put some padding on those walls, because as we know that Cade Bormet slid into right field and took an awful hard tumble. By the way, he had his first at-bat for the Jefferson City Renegades this summer, his first at-bat since that injury. And talking with Trevor Mallett, he's one of the backup catchers on Mizzou baseball. He was also on the Renegades this summer. And talking with him, he says that Bormet is not even close to being ready to come back, and he went 0-for-4 in his one game, and I think he struck out twice. Apparently, with part of his injury, for starters, his middle ear is still, he's basically off balance. I don't know if it's the correct balance of fluid in both ears or what it is. But then the other part of it is that the ball will go in and out of focus as it's coming in when he looks at it. And I can't even imagine trying to pick up a pitch like that.
Baseball is a game that is so focused on vision, being able to see what's going on around you. And to not be able to do that is terrifying.
I just really hope to see Bormet rebound and come back. I mean, you see players all the time that, especially the major league level, Mitch Myers, one that comes to mind at the Kansas City Royals. He got hit in the face, had his skull fractured in a couple, three places after being hit in the head by a pitch. And he came back and played four or five more years after that, but maybe it was never quite the same. Aroldis Chapman, another one that comes to mind, he was hit in a spring training game also against the Royals. Salvador Perez hit a line drive back up the middle, and he had to have some reconstructive skull surgery done on. And I believe that made him he had to sit out for the whole year after that. But regardless, it's with baseball being such a mental game, you hope to see Bormet be able to make it back for this next year. But this is a Mizzou team that's had the most wins since leaving the Big 12. I want to say is they've had the most wins in back-to-back years since 2009 and 2010. It was in the late 2000s. There was a graphic on Twitter I was trying to find here a couple minutes ago that explained it. But no, this is a team that's on the up and up, and to be able to do this in baseball or do this in SEC baseball, that is a huge plus for Steve Beazer.
Oh, definitely, because the SEC is one of, if not the best conference in NCAA baseball. And for a team like Mizzou, who doesn't have a historically fantastic baseball program, they definitely have some history, have some great people come through.
1954.
A 1954 national championship.
You know that Norm Stewart was the first baseman on that team?
Really?
I remember that like it was yesterday. Good old days.
Anyways, really need Steve Beazer's squad to make the jump, at least in my mind, this year, because they've been on the cusp for at least the last 2 years, and going to need to start seeing him make that jump into being one of the better teams in the SEC. And I think he can do it. He's able to recruit really well and find some really good junior college players. But a few more things I want to see some improvement from Beazer and company. Last thing we want to... Yep.
Oh, I guess one more thing you could throw in there, along with staying healthy, is making sure that the offense is still on its game down the stretch, because I remember that was another issue that Mizzou baseball had, was against some, I guess, middling conference teams, I don't know, Kentucky or Tennessee, where they had trouble scoring runs. So if they're able to keep up their offensive production like they would, say, at the beginning of the season or the middle of the season, then that would also help them go a long way. So finally making that jump to being a respectable talent in the SEC baseball sphere.
Definitely need a little bit more consistency for them. And now the last thing I really wanted to get into with this summer recap was someone that is a very good friend of the show, personal friend of mine, Dawson Downing, walk-on running back for the Missouri Tigers. Fans would remember him for his epic destroying of a UConn defensive back on a run by absolutely trucking him and laying him in the dirt on a play that eventually got called back when Mizzou was already up by 30. But still, the gift lives on of Dawson trucking over that man. He was a walk-on running back and was given a scholarship by the Mizzou football program. They had two scholarships to give out, and they decided to give one to the sophomore, former now walk-on running back, Dawson Downing. So a bit of a light story, a bit of a happy story for someone that's beloved by many, as Dawson is.
Well, and on top of that, I'm sure his dad is. Have you met his dad, Ken?
Not yet.
Ken Downing, if you ever shake his hand, he has sausage-like fingers, but it's like a vice grip of sausages, just giving you a hand on your handshake.
That's not an image I needed.
he played football back at Mizzou in the early to mid 70s, and at one point held NFL punt records for three or four years back before punt returning was as crucial as it is today in flipping the field. But no, the Dawson family, I'm sure, is extremely proud. Both of his brother, him and his brother, coming up through Bishop Miege High School in Kansas City. So that's been fun for them over Bishop Miege, and now fun at Mizzou. And it's really good to see, I don't want to say a homegrown kid because he's not from Columbia, Missouri, but seeing the Tiger bloodline come through from another generation.
Definitely. Well, hopefully we'll see Dawson on the field a little bit more. Projected to be the number three running back behind Crockett and Roundtree this year, but of course they got some very good freshmen coming in. So that'll be it for our summer recap. When we come back, we're going to James Stanley again for this game show that I know nothing about. Or nah. Right back.
I've got to go home.
Oh, come on, Carrie.
We're going to a new place. Don't be
afraid. She wants to go home, right?
Let's go.
You okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You sure?
Relax. What's a few beers?
If you don't stop your friend from drinking and driving, you're as good as dead. Drinking and driving can kill.
Looking for a fun night out in Colombia? Check out a concert at Cafe Berlin. Looking for that great brunch the morning after a fun night out? Cafe Berlin has you covered there too. Check out their stacked concert schedule and brunch menu at CafeBerlinComo.com or check them out at 220 North 10th Street and follow them on Twitter and Facebook at Cafe Berlin and on Instagram at CafeBerlinComo.
If you're interested in getting hands-on experience with student radio, TV, or newspaper, we are having a Mizzou Student Media Information Session on August 29th in the Shack. You'll get to hear about all the great opportunities we provide students here at KCOU, MUTV, and The Man Eater. We will have two sessions, one at 6 p.m. and one at 8 p.m., both followed by an open house. We hope to see you there.
Salute Your Sports here on a gorgeous Wednesday afternoon in Columbia, Missouri, the quality city, or so they call it on NCAA football 2014.
Never heard of this term before in my life.
Yeah, until then you realize you start playing with other teams and then they're all called the quality city. So that's not the nickname of Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, I'm shocked.
But
I'm absolutely stunned at this development.
Shocked and appalled.
But bringing us on with a little bit of the late Aretha Franklin, rest in peace. Some of the best music to come out of Detroit, maybe ever. Maybe some of the best music ever to come out of the United States, the Motown definitely. Studios.
Hands down.
But with that, we will transition into our first game of Or Nah, as we will go to the standings that are currently tied at no record between Matthew Terry, Chris Mitchell, and James Stanley. As here's how it works. I guess going with next week's game for the rules, the loser of this game hosts the next one, and we will get to the rules of how Or Nah works. How it works is that we will have a series. Well, just we'll have one question. There's three rounds. Doesn't have to be three rounds, but that's just how many rounds we have today.
Thank you, James.
And at the end appreciate of the it. Bottom of the third, we will have a tiebreaker question, and you have to. Whoever comes closest to the guests, which this is one that always drove Ross Weber crazy last year, but because it's really up to chance. How it works, though, you'll be asked a question that's basically a yes or no question, and you either answer it yes or you answer it or nah. And for instance, last year we did a show that was U.S. military all-stars or nah. And basically we took a baseball player, Ted Williams, for example. I'd ask you, for example, Matthew, I'd ask you, did Ted Williams serve in the United States military? Yes or nah? And you would say?
Yes.
Yes, and then you get the little ding, 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 then you get it wrong. If you said or nah, you'd get it wrong,
mm-hmm.
and then you'd be. Then it's Chris's turn. Well, it'll be Chris's turn no matter what after you answer the question.
So basically, you just have to answer if someone did something or not.
Yes, that is is basically, yeah, or nah.
Or nah.
Got to say or nah.
I got to get that down. Or nah.
There is a great soundbite of Joe Northern saying, or nah. Like we gotta find it. Like it is fantastic.
What we need is something that plays every time you name drop someone. Because this entire show has been nothing but James name dropping former KCOU staffers that most of the people listening don't know. And it's just a trip every time James mentions someone new.
Shout out to the students at the University of Missouri Columbia.
Yes. Shout shout out indeed.
You, the listener at home.
Oh, of course. All right. So we are almost ready to get in.
Yeah, we're getting it going here. I'll go ahead and give you the topic.
All right.
As we cue up the mysterious music.
Mysterious music.
Oh, jeez. I don't like it.
All right, who wants to go first? Here's the topic. Home openers or not for Mizzou football.
Hmm.
Quarterbacks who have had four or more touchdown passes in a Mizzou home opener. Who wants to go first in this one? There's really not an advantage to going first or last.
I guess I can go first.
All right, Chris Mitchell. We'll give you an easy one.
Okay.
Has Drew Locke ever thrown four or more touchdown passes in a season opener?
I'm going to say yes.
Yes or nah? There you go.
Hey.
Yes, that is correct. Drew Locke is the only Mizzou quarterback to do it twice.
Ooh.
Against Fancy. Missouri State and Eastern Michigan.
Oh yeah.
Because I was thinking that Missouri State game.
I was thinking about it too. I totally forgot about the Eastern Michigan game.
I did as well.
All right, Matthew.
That was a fun game.
Since you have been here, I'll give you a semi easy one. You were here during his last year that he didn't even play in two games.
I'm terrified of the name you're about to.
Know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, so cursed.
But
the boy,
Matty Mock.
Yeah.
Has Matty Mock ever thrown four or more touchdowns in a Mizzou season opener? Yes
home
or not?
Home opener?
Home opener. Mizzou home opener. You're making that very clear because there have been times when Mizzou has not opened at home like they used to play Illinois at St. Louis.
Or like the Drew Locke's first full season, they opened it up at West Virginia. But Matty Mock, I am going to say or not. Nah.
Ding, ding.
What?
Matty Mock never did it. He threw three.
He threw three against
South Dakota State 2014, and then only two against SEMO.
Yeah, that SEMO game, Mizzou scored like 35 points.
34-3, they won.
Oh, I got it.
It was not pretty.
It's like, yeah, that makes sense.
All right, so here we go. We're tied up at 1-1 into the top of the second we go. Chris Mitchell.
James Stanley.
Has Blaine Gabbert ever thrown four or more touchdown passes in a Mizzou season opener or not?
Gabbert the God. Did he ever do it? I'm going to say yes. Darn.
No, he has never done it. He
Gabbert didn't really start much for Mizzou.
Well, if you look at this win, which I'd like to know where the rest of the offense went, it might have been on the ground attack, but I'm guessing that the Mizzou defense of 2010 shut down McNeese State. They won that one 50-6.
Prestigious McNeese State, I'll have you know.
He did throw two touchdown passes against Illinois in St. Louis in 2010. And then against Illinois, he had three touchdowns the year before 2009 and only two against Bowling Green. Talk about a close one. Mizzou barely beat Bowling Green in 2009, 27-20.
Oof.
I must say.
ZOU.
Jinx, buy me a Coke. All right. Matthew Terry.
What's up?
Has James Franklin ever thrown four or more touchdowns in a Mizzou season home opener? Yes or nah?
Nah.
Ding, ding. 2-1. Chris, you have your back to the wall now. You got to get this question right.
I'm sweating. I'm nervous.
There's not very many of these left.
For reference, how many touchdown passes did he throw? Or, like, what's the highest?
Franklin?
Yeah. Franklin? That was three.
He was always more of a runner as well.
Well, and this is not just overall in their careers. This is just for Mizzou season home openers.
Yeah.
He had three against Murray State. Mizzou won that one 58-14.
Whew.
He only had one touchdown pass in this one. 2012, Mizzou beat Southeastern Louisiana 62-10. Like, how do you score that many points and then not come through with
Is there a lot of defense? Was he just taken out after the first quarter?
Probably. Well, there was a time when Mizzou had a three-year stretch where they intercepted at least one pass per game. Or it was like a four-year. It was ridiculous. It was going back to like 2011 to like their third year in the SEC. And maybe their second year in the SEC. But I'm thinking maybe that's one of those. And then he had one touchdown against Miami of Ohio in 2011. Mizzou won that one 17-6. Chris Mitchell.
All right.
Has Chase Daniel ever thrown four or more touchdown passes in a Mizzou home season opener? Yes or nah?
I'm going to say yes. There we go.
We're tied up.
Oh, way off my shoulders.
The pressure's on.
Now yeah. Puts us into the top of the third. Let me see here. How many we got left? All right, we have one more round left. So this is not. This is not to win it.
This is the bottom of the third.
Yeah, I meant to say we actually have four innings, not three. Oh. We have four.
Oh, okay.
I miscalculated. Fuzzy math.
Oh, good job, James.
All right, math so
we're still getting the kinks out. It's still a first show for all
episode
of us.
Episode one, you know,
first show of the summer. Don't expect us to be perfect.
Matthew Terry has Corby Jones. You recognize that name?
Not in the slightest.
He was Mizzou's quarterback their first year in the Big 12. He held the Mizzou touchdown passing record. I'll give you that much.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
For several years till Chase Daniel broke it. Chase Daniel actually broke it like five times.
Okay.
Like, because he had like five games where he had five touchdowns, and the record before that was four. This is not any more hints than I'm going to give you other than this. Has Corby Jones ever thrown four touchdowns or more in a Mizzou season home opener? Yes or not?
It's going to take a big swing and say yes.
No. That is not right.
I should still get the point.
Hit him with the bait and switch.
There you go.
That should be played for you since you hit the wrong button.
I hit the right button. It's just the wrong soundbite was queued up. No, he has never thrown four touchdowns.
You lied to me, James.
More in the game.
So we're playing the rest of us under protest.
Into the final round.
I stand in solidarity with that protest.
Awesome.
Chris Mitchell.
What's up?
Has Brad Smith ever thrown four touchdown passes in a game? Yes. Or in a Mizzou season home opener.
To get yourself straight about what this game is.
I'm going to say or nah.
Ding,
hey.
Ding.
I don't know.
Matthew Terry, this is for out all the marbles.
This is pressure that I'm not used to handling.
All those marbles. Right.
The last time Mizzou won a conference was 1969.
Okay,
they finished sixth in the country.
All right. Ooh.
Quarterback was Terry McMillan.
I like this guy already.
Yeah.
Did he throw four or more touchdowns in the Mizzou season home opener that year? I'll tell you the opponent after you answer the question because
after I answer the question?
Yeah, because I feel like it'll make it too easy. But has Terry McMillan ever thrown four or more touchdowns in a Mizzou season home opener?
I'm going off the power of a fellow man named Terry. And I'm going to say yes, he did.
Oh.
Terry has forsaken me.
Who they play?
Stupid.
They played Air Force.
Oh.
I think that might have. See, this is back when they only played 10 games, though. There were no cupcake games back then.
Yeah.
No easy buckets.
Chris Mitchell, he takes it in four.
Yes!
First winner.
I should have figured that no one in 1969 would throw four touchdown passes
four
in a game.
Absolutely not.
I did not think that through in the slightest, really.
So the tiebreaker question was going to be, how many Mizzou quarterbacks, and as you ever could guess closest to the number, have thrown four or more touchdowns in the Mizzou season home opener? Guess how many?
Just guess five.
Matthew Terry got five. Chris Mitchell?
I'm going to say four.
Say four? Chris Mitchell would have won it anyways because it's only two.
Whoa!
Two.
Only two.
Chase Daniel and Drew Lock. Look,
interesting.
The only two. Huh. I thought the number would have been, because you look at some of the blowout, 62 to 10.
Wins. Yeah.
You know, only one touchdown pass for James Franklin in that one. Just absolute insanity.
All right. Let's go into this quick last segment that I teased at the beginning of the show that I hopefully will become a recurring trend going into this year. And that's a Mizzou recruiting recap, because I don't only want to talk about the present and a bit about the past of Mizzou. I want to talk about the future, some future Tigers. So we're going to go into just a couple names for fans to look out for the next football season. Not this upcoming year, but for the 2019 year, a little bit far into the future. This is what we're doing. Some three big commits for the football team. Going to start with Connor Blazelak. He is a four-star pro-style quarterback from Dayton, Ohio. Mizzou picked up a commit for him. He will be a big, hopefully, recruit for Mizzou if he stays. after the Drew Lock era, because we're entering the last year of that. They got two guys from St. Louis that I wanted to highlight, one of them being Maurice Massey, a three-star wide receiver. It was down to Mizzou and Illinois, and Massey chose the right side of the Missouri River. And then another man from St. Louis, Jack Buford, a three-star offensive tackle, the eighth-ranked player in the state of Missouri, staying home and will be putting on the black and gold. For basketball, no commits, but a pair of big visits coming up for the Missouri Tigers. The first one of those being EJ Little, a four-star power forward, top player in the state of Illinois. Recently put out his top five. Mizzou is in it. Of course, all signs as of right now are not looking good for Mizzou, looking good for Ohio State, but Mizzou is staying in the mix. And then a four-star combo guard from Michigan, the number one player in the state, Rocket Watts, visiting on September 22nd, 2018. That is the weekend of the Georgia football game. Going to need to put on a big showing for Mr. Watts out of Michigan. James, why don't you wrap things up for today?
Well, that's a winner. Is that what we're gonna say?
Yeah, it's a winner. Sure, why not?
We're still knocking the rust off. So just bear with us. Maybe next week's show will be a little more polished. But this is my first time talking on the radio more than a month. So we're actually on the radio more than 4 months. But with that, for Matthew Terry, for Chris Mitchell, this is James Stanley saying so long from the basement of the MU Student Center. The Pulse is coming up next. And more KCOU music shows on the way after the Pulse tonight. And with that, we will see you next time with more Salute Your Sports next Wednesday here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.FM, as this is the student voice of Missouri.